The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sorry, I can't talk today. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall read you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Okay, let's start off with Best Pals. There's a picture of a young lady with a baby goat. Atlas and Poot Poot were both born preemies, and their bond grew as they did. This is Poot Poot, the white Nigerian dwarf coat, and it is a white one too, that surprised us all. Poot Poot was born last March as a triplet and was the tiniest kid we'd ever seen at 1.4 pounds. The size of a newborn rabbit at birth, he had a body temperature so low that it wouldn't even register on a thermometer. We didn't think he would make it to the morning. My 10-year-old daughter Atlas and I stayed up with him all night. Poot Poot was too little to nurse, so we milked his mother and used an eyedropper to hand feed the milk to her baby. When Poot Poot got too groggy to eat, we put honey on his gums to give his low blood sugar a quick boost, an old trick we'd learned from other goat farmers. I slept on the couch with him on top of me to raise his body temperature. We zipped him in a resealable plastic bag with his head poking out so we could submerge him in the kitchen sink filled with warm water without his getting wet. We found it was much more effective than a heating pad to get his body temperature up. On day two, Poot Poot turned a corner. We finally got him to nurse from a regular baby bottle. On our farm, we have 15 goats plus chickens and dogs. Poot Poot wasn't the first goat we'd had to bring inside our home, but he was the sweetest and the neatest. Poot Poot rarely made messes, fortunately because there wasn't a diaper small enough for him. He stayed in the house with us for about a month. He was just too little to keep outside. Another animal would have pushed him around or scooped him up. Each day, Atlas and Poot Poot became closer. His siblings and the rest of the goat herd didn't take to him too well, so he became Atlas's pet. She, too, had been a preemie, weighing only 2 pounds and 12 ounces when she was born. So he has always thought it was sweet that he was small like her. Poot Poot's little tail wriggles at the sound of her voice, and he likes to sit on her back while she lies on the floor to read during homeschooling. Whatever we do, he does. Watching TV, playing or napping, he loves to play with Atlas and the dogs, even standing on top of our gentle Great Dane when he curls up on the floor. Now, weighing in at 10 pounds, Poot Poot has his own area outside. He has a new companion, a 2-month-old kid named Dotsie, who is already the same size as him. Whenever Atlas steps foot outside the door, Poot Poot screams and screams until she comes over to get him. Atlas picks strawberries and the broccoli from the garden for Poot Poot and her to munch on, the only things more than his crunchy cheese balls. The pair play hide-and-seek in the tall grass, Atlas waiting until Poot Poot turns around, then dashing off to hide. Poot Poot bleating and hopping as he follows around the sound of her voice. This little kid has already brought so much joy into our lives and become a special part of our family. And this is a nomination for Favorite Pet by Mary Ann Atlas Music. The food on your plate. I am olive oil. Beware of imposters and spoilers. In the early 2017, a special unit of the Italian police arrested 33 members of the 'Ndrangheta, the organized crime group based in Calabria region. The offense for which the men were apprehended did not involve selling drugs, committing murder, or laundering money, although the group for those things too. It was about me, olive oil. This notorious Italian mafia had been taking low-quality olive mash called pomace and selling it in Boston, New York, Chicago, and New Jersey as the good stuff, extra virgin, making millions of dollars in the process. This wasn't the first time I was at the center of some high drama. In fact, it's part of my deal for millennia. Take the Hanukkah story, the one in which the Jews had only one night's worth of lamp oil, but miraculously it lasted 8. That was me. Back when I was more important as a source of light than as food. I've also been used as perfume, skin lotion, hair ointment, and even a cleaning agent. The ancient Romans had no soap, so instead they slathered me all over their bodies and then scraped the oil off with a dull blade called a sturgeon. I was used similarly in ancient Greece, where the sweaty, dirty scrapings from the bodies of elite athletes would be collected and sold as a medicine believed to reduce inflammation and other maladies. I give myself a lot of credit on the health front, but I don't think I really did that much good like that. Much more recently, I've been categorized into quality grades based on processing methods and level of free oleic acid. The lower level, the more pristine the oil. Extra virgin olive oil, or EVOO, has the lowest oleic acid and the best flavor. It's good raw in dressing or as a cooking oil. Virgin oil is a higher oleic acid, but can work as a frying oil, while refined oil, also called pure or olive pomace, is so heavily processed that it's better for lubricating machinery than for use in food. Instances of fraud aside, high-quality EVOO can be difficult to find, as there's little guarantee that I will still be in good form when you open the bottle. Time and heat can degrade my taste, and health benefits can bring me closer to full-on rancidity. Best buy dates often give more than 2 years for oil in the bottle, but that assumes good storage conditions, which are far from guaranteed in many places. How do you avoid such pitfalls? There's no easy answer, but look for bottles that have best buy date that's as far out as possible, which suggests it's fresher. Avoid super cheap EVOO. A good everyday oil costs about $15 a liter. Go lower than that and chances of getting the good stuff diminish. Because light speeds oxidation, steer clear of clear bottles. Any company serious about my quality will sell me in dark glasses or tin. Look for companies with a shorter supply chain by buying from a specialty shop that has a direct relationship with the farmers, or from a bigger, often more affordable, producers that have transparent process. It's also smart to skip those giant jugs of me unless you're sure you use me within a couple of months, as I go rancid rapidly once my container is opened. Good versions of me can taste herbal, grassy, almondy, artichokey, green tomatoish, and peppery. Some varieties of me are artichokey, green tomatoish, and peppery. Some varieties of me are floral, some are mild, and others spicy. Among my main sources of bitterness are the antioxidants known as polyphenols. An oil isn't inherently in quality if it's more bitter, though that might be indicative of more health benefits. In general, I'm one of the healthiest oils you can eat, courtesy of my low ratio of saturated fats and high proportion of heart-healthy monounsaturated fats, which tend to be more plentiful than in other vegetable oils. My uses in kitchen are vast, but I'm most handy for oiling a pan before sautéing and for making simple sauces, vinaigrettes, and marinades. I have a distinctive flavor, so using me in a dish is a question of whether you want my flavor in your food. If the answer is no, say if you're making a birthday cake or Chinese stir-fried vegetables, a more neutral oil might be a better fit. If you read much about oils for cooking, their smoke point, the temperature at which oil begins to visibly emit bluish smoke, a sign of the oil degrading as harmful free radicals form, has likely come up. EVOO has a relatively low smoke point as the cooking oils go, somewhere between 320 to 370 degrees Fahrenheit range, which are typical frying temps. It'd be easy to conclude that EVOO should therefore be avoided for frying, but this isn't necessarily the case. Thanks to my high antioxidants, I am also a very stable oil, so while my smoke point is low, I reverse free radical formation quite well, making me, counterintuitively, a pretty decent oil for frying. But of course, that assumes you're getting the real me and not some cheap knockoff. Olive oil dip. In a small bowl, stir together 1/2 cup of EVOO with 2 finely minced cloves of garlic, 1/2 teaspoon finely minced fresh rosemary needles, 1/2 teaspoon of finely minced fresh oregano leaves, and 1/2 teaspoon crushed red pepper flakes, and 1/4 teaspoon freshly ground black pepper. Let infuse for at least 15 minutes and up to 1 hour before serving with fresh crispy bread. Crusty bread. Garlic herb oil can be frigid in an airtight container for up to 2 days. Fair weather friend. One night when Al Roker was still a young meteorologist in Cleveland, the evening news anchor, Doug Airder, was swatted on the head by a homeless African-American man outside the studio. During the broadcast the next day, Airder turned to Roker and said, "I don't know if you heard, but last night after the 11 o'clock news, one of your people attacked me." Before anyone could draw a shock breath, Roker calmed him and asked, "Doug, why would a weatherman attack you?" And that, my friends, is how you become one of the most beloved fixtures on network news. And the usual 13 things. The dark web demystified. The dark web is a collection of internet sites that you can't find with a regular search engine and that people can visit anonymously, as opposed to the surface web, the searchable part of the internet that anyone can access. The dark web is a subset of the deep web, which houses password-protected medical and financial records, pages behind paywalls, and cloud-based email accounts such as Gmail. Number 2. Because it's anonymous and encrypted, the dark web is, perhaps unsurprisingly, a hotbed of criminal activity. On dark web marketplaces, there are listings to buy drugs, firearms, porn, exotic animals, credit card numbers, and more, complete with photos, gushing descriptions, and user reviews. There are also hate sites, conspiracy theory forums, and how-to tutorials for every illegal activity imaginable. Number 3. Although simply accessing the dark web is perfectly legal, it can be risky because the dark web doesn't have as many built-in protections as the surface web does. Surfing the dark web can expose you to malicious software, hackers, bots, and scams. Number 4. Since you can't find the dark web using a regular browser such as Chrome or Safari, users have to download a special router to get there. The most popular is called Tor, short for the Onion Router. It's based on technology developed by the U.S. Naval Research Laboratory to protect the communications of U.S. agents operating under hostile regimes. Number 5. Purchases on the dark web are made with cryptocurrency, which allows people to transfer money instantly and anonymously anywhere in the world without an intermediary. Bitcoin was the original currency of choice, but it has been losing favor because law enforcement has been able to trace some Bitcoin transactions. Dark web market administrators are now experimenting with other currencies, including Monero and Litecoin. Number 6. The number of the dark web forum users surged during the COVID-19 lockdown. Criminals have taken advantage of our increased time online, security gaps, and created by remote workforces and people's anxiety during the crises. Number 7. Even if you've never been on the dark web, there's a chance your credit card or bank information has. Both the number and volume of data breaches have escalated in recent years, and at least 115 million stolen debit and credit cards were posted to dark web marketplaces in 2020, according to the cybersecurity firm Gemini Advisor. Criminals have used stolen data to make online purchases, or they imprint it into a card they can walk into a business and use. Number 8. An easy way to keep your credit cards off the dark web: make sure a website address starts with HTTPS. The S stands for secure, before you enter your payment information. You could also use a mobile payment app, think PayPal and Apple Pay, that uses technology that hides your credit card number when you pay. Number 9. Some companies will do a dark web sweep to check whether your information has been compromised, but there's no reason to pay for this service. To see if your email or phone number has been included in a dark web data dump, go to haveibeenpwnd.com. That's haveibeenpwnd.com. If you learn you've been part of a breach, change passwords and monitor financial accounts, or consider a credit freeze. Number 10. There's a reason why experts say you shouldn't use the same login credentials for different websites. Cybercriminals on the dark web buy huge databases of username and password combinations that come from data breaches. Then they use bots to plug the credentials into their bank portals and other lucrative sites until they crack into an account. Number 11. Fraudsters also use dark web username passwords lists for a common blackmail scam. They email you saying you have your password and share it as proof. Then they claim to have hacked into your computer and recorded you visiting an adult website or something else embarrassing, and threaten to distribute the video to your contacts unless you pay a ransom. If this scam happens to you, don't pay a dime. Report it to the FBI at ic3.gov. Number 12. Increasingly, law enforcement is using the dark web to pinpoint and break up the illegal activity. And one of the biggest busts in far, 338 people were arrested worldwide in 2019 as part of a takedown of a dark web child pornography site. Number 13. But the dark web isn't all bad. It can be a lifeline for people living in totalitarian countries who want to access unfiltered or factual information. People under oppressive regimes can use it to safely express their views that oppose their government and to access organizations for support and resources. It's also a place where anonymous sources and whistleblowers can share secrets or tips with journalists and law enforcement without compromising their identities. Many legitimate organizations, including the New York Times and Facebook, have versions of their sites on the dark web. Good night, Twitter. Good night, Facebook. My friend's toddler babbled, "Don't forget to subscribe," as he was put to bed. The kid watches so much YouTube, he thought it meant goodbye. How about a few giggles? A guy in my office is shaking his protein shake, and this woman poked her head around the corner and said, "Do I hear margaritas?" "No, Janet, it's 10 a.m. The driver I stopped for speeding insisted he had a valid excuse. "Sorry, officer," he said. "I just had the car wash, and it was drying it out." Me texting boss, "We still on for work today?" Boss, "Yes. You don't have to text me this every morning. We're on for work every day, Monday through Friday." "Would you hire them?" A job interview is your chance to make a good first impression on hiring managers. Don't screw it up the way these people did. My colleague and I interviewed a very nervous guy. When he got up to leave, he opened the wrong door and walked into the closet. We waited for him to emerge, and when he didn't, my co-worker to investigate. The poor man was so mortified he was trying to climb out a window rather than go back in. The candidate stated that his career goal was to not to work. That's a good career goal. Pointing to the employment application question, "Have you ever been convicted of a felony?" A job interviewer asked, "You only want the felonies?" This is for a banking position. I went to greet an interview in the lobby. I should point that out, I am 5'1", and she is much taller. Anyway, the moment she saw me, she stood up and stuck out her hand and said, "Well, hi there, shorty." I don't think she got the job. Everyday miracles. Banding together. And it was a cartoon picture of a bunch of people playing guitars and drums and singing. Paul O'Sullivan lounged around his Baltimore apartment one evening in 2014 feeling bored. So, like a lot of people with nothing better to do, he logged onto Facebook to find out just how many others on the social network shared his name. A moment later, Paul O'Sullivan's were popping out of the woodwork as dozens of named twins from around the world filled his screen. On a whim, the then 27-year-old human resources employee decided to send friend requests to them all. Many of his fellow Paul O'Sullivan's ignored him, but a few felt too curious to pass up his invitation. "My first reaction was, who is this guy and what does he want from me?" says Paul O'Sullivan from the Netherlands, also known as Rotterdam Paul. As Baltimore Paul scrolled through other Paul O'Sullivan's profiles, he noticed something four of them had in common. They were all musicians. Like Baltimore Paul, Rotterdam Paul sings and plays guitar. Another Paul in Manchester, England, plays bass. And Paul from Pennsylvania is a drummer. Four men with the same name who all love making music? Baltimore Paul had an idea. Wouldn't it be funny if he asked the other musical Pauls if they formed a band called the Paul O'Sullivans? Yes, it would be, they all agreed, and so they did. Starting a band across multiple time zones proved to be tricky. Shaky Wi-Fi and other technical difficulties meant they were often out of sync, and being able to half a second off from one another wrecked their sound. To fix this, they created a sort of musical assembly line. Baltimore Paul and Rotterdam Paul write and record a basic track, then email it to Manchester Paul. "I listened to the song over a few days," said Manchester Paul, "to get a feel for what bass arrangement seems most appropriate." Once he records a bass track, he emails it back to Baltimore Paul, who then builds it into the main song. Later, Pennsylvania Paul adds the drum beat. Round and round the track goes, with each member adding on his own layer until they achieve the sound they want. The Paul O'Sullivan Band released its first original song, Namesake, on March 2016. It's an upbeat track about long-distance relationships, not romantic ones, but friendships like those they had begun to develop. But just months after the song's release, Baltimore Paul began experiencing health issues that forced him to take off from making music. The other Pauls decided to take a break, too, from the band, that is. But they didn't press pause on their friendship. Instead of supporting one another on bass and drums, they supported one another more generally. The other Pauls made sure Baltimore Paul never felt alone, even with the miles and ocean between them. They shared family pictures, chatted live on Instagram, and checked in on Baltimore Paul and on one another. "The other Pauls are gentle, dear, caring people," says Pennsylvania Paul. "They are a fountain of joy." It was about 4 years before Baltimore Paul was well enough to start making music again. The first thing the band did was create a music video for Namesake, which debuted on YouTube in February 2020. In its first 2 weeks online, the video pulled in more than 20,000 views. And when COVID-19 slowly shut down the world just weeks later, the Pauls didn't miss a beat. After all, the band had already gotten the hang of remote work, but now their international connection took on new meaning. "Writing a song with someone across the ocean makes you feel less trapped," says Baltimore Paul. They used their time during the pandemic to record their first EP, or short album, titled Internet Famous, a retrospective. It was released last April. Half of the proceeds from the EP will be donated to the COVID-19 Solidarity Response Fund, which supports the World Health Organization's work. "Life is tough sometimes," says Pennsylvania Paul. "When you have the opportunity to generate joy, you have to put aside the other stuff." A new source of joy for the Pauls is getting to spend time with each other in person. Last fall, Baltimore Paul surprised Pennsylvania Paul at his home after coordinating with his fiancée. It was the first time any of them had met face-to-face without a computer screen in the way. The two spent more time together this past summer and hoped to add the other two Pauls to the mix soon. And when schedules allow, they plan to embark on a whirlwind four-stop world tour, one concert in each of their hometowns. What are the odds, says Baltimore Paul, that a random Facebook request would lead not only to new music, but to lasting friendships as well? Some things are just meant to be. Tricks of the trade. Who says that corporate executives are boring? These companies clearly had some fun selecting their stock exchange symbols. BID, BID, Sotheby's, the auction company, CAKE, C-A-K-E, the Cheesecake Factory, FIZZ, F-I-Z-Z, National Beverage Company, HOG, of course, Harley-Davidson Motorcycles, P-Z-Z-A, Papa John's, Z-E-U-S, Zeus, Olympic Steel Incorporated. We found a fix, five tricks to improve your life. And there's a picture of a laptop computer with American flags and I voted stickers and bunkies and elephants stuck all over it. Number one, request Facebook to your leader. Request Facebook take you to your leaders. Facebook has just made it as easy to find your government officials as your old school chums and favorite cousins. Stay informed about the civic going-ons in your area by going to facebook.com/townhall. Enter your home address and you'll see federal, state, and local officials, including some council members and municipal office holders. What's more, you'll be able to contact each of them with a click of a button and see a feed devoted to posts from civic leaders in your district. Don't forget to turn on reminders about upcoming elections, too. Number two, get free shipping every time. If you're shopping online and just a few dollars away from free shipping, it's tempting to buy one more item, probably something you don't really need, to save those shipping fees. Instead, add a gift card to your cart. Choose dollar amount that puts you over the free shipping threshold and use the card later for something you actually want. Number three, don't hammer your nails. The next time you pick up a hammer, spare your fingernails when you're aiming for the metal ones. Hold the nail in place by tucking it between the arms of a bobby pin. The nail stem will fit snugly in the indents of the bobby pin's bumps for a tight hold, and the errant swing won't crush your fingertips. Number four, cook brown rice twice as fast. If you think brown rice takes too long to cook, here's a way to speed things up. Soak the rice in a covered pot at 2:1 water to rice ratio and leave it in the fridge overnight. The rice, having absorbed most of the water by the next day, will take half the amount of time to cook. Number five, assist your not-so-green thumb. If you have a houseplant that's prone to drying out quickly, or if you're prone to occasionally missing watering, place a kitchen sponge at the bottom of the pot under the soil the next time you repot the plant. The sponge will act as a reservoir, absorbing and holding any excess water to feed back to your plant the next time the roots are a bit parched. That's a good hint. The healthy. More than winter skin dry. Eczema and psoriasis flare up this time of year. Here's what you need to know. For some people, freezing temperatures and harsh winds can cause more than chapped lips and dry skin. People with eczema or psoriasis, two inflammatory skin conditions, are most likely to experience flare-ups when the weather turns cold and dry. Though these skin conditions are often mistaken for each other, both can include itching, rashes, and redness, there are differences in how they affect the body and how they are treated. There are several types of eczema, but the most common is atopic dermatitis, AD, and allergic skin disease. The main symptom is itching, which can be so intense that scratching leaves skin vulnerable to infection. Eczema is an inherited skin condition often associated with asthma or allergic rhinitis, hair fever, says Jeffrey Weinberg, M.D., Associate Clinical Professor of Dermatology at the Mount Sinai Hospitals in New York City. Eczema often starts in early childhood, and some people outgrow the symptoms as they age. In children, the disease usually appears on the cheeks, elbows, knees, and scalp. In adults, eczema typically shows up in the creases of the face and neck, behind the knees, and on wrists and ankles. Besides itching, eczema symptoms can include dry, red, scaly, or inflamed skin, bleeding from scratching, swelling, crusted or oozing skin, and rough, leathery, scaly patches. Those symptoms can come and go, with periods of clear skin followed by flare-ups when the skin becomes itchy and irritated again. Anything that might rob the skin of moisture can precipitate a flare-up, including the cold, dry air of winter, central heating, and frequent bathing without applying a moisturizer afterwards. Skin that's exposed to winter elements is particularly vulnerable, especially on the hands and face, and as people bundle up, wool and polyester clothing can also be irritants. There is no cure for eczema, but flare-ups can be minimized and symptoms managed. The most important step is moisturizing frequently. Symptoms are usually treated with topical medications, including Corticosteroids, biologic agents, drugs created in the lab to mimic naturally occurring proteins and molecules, and immunosuppressant drugs and phototherapy. Usually, the body grows new skin cells and sheds them every 30 days. But for people with psoriasis, the immune system goes into overdrive and produces new skins every 3 to 4 days. Instead of shedding the overproduced cells, the dead skin piles up as a raised reddish patches of a thick, scaly, silvery-white layer. These patches, called plaques, can appear anywhere on the body, but most often on the elbows, behind the knees, and on the scalp, lower back, and buttocks. This condition affects an estimated 8 million Americans, according to the National Psoriasis Foundation. Psoriasis can occur at any age, but most commonly begins between the ages of 15 and 25. As with eczema, both environmental factors and genetic predisposition play a role. While it may be difficult for most people to tell the two conditions apart, it's actually fairly easy for dermatologists. Psoriasis usually makes the skin thicker and patchier than eczema, and when it doesn't itch, it doesn't itch intensely. Winter is usually a bad time for people with psoriasis, in particular because of the cold, dry weather, but also because of the relative lack of ultraviolet light, which can ease the condition in winter warmer months. What's more, just about anything that jolts the immune system can bring about a painful flare-up, including stress, colds, strep throat, or even an ear infection. 1 in 3 people with psoriasis develop psoriatic arthritis, a disease that causes stiffness, swelling, and pain in the joints and surrounding areas. The chronic inflammation in psoriasis is also associated with other serious conditions such as cardiovascular disease and diabetes. There are many treatment options for psoriasis sufferers. Mild to moderate cases can be treated topically with a combination of steroids and emollients such as petroleum jelly mixed with salicylic acid, retinoids, and vitamin D. Phototherapy treatment can help by exposing the skin to artificial sources of UVB, a type of ultraviolet light. Moderate to severe psoriasis usually requires systemic treatment with oral medication such as methotrexate and systemic retinoids or biologics. It was treatment with biologic that finally helped Jennifer Kerner, a scientist and consultant with Booz Allen Hamilton in Washington, D.C., control her psoriasis. Diagnosed in high school after many years of developing red, itchy skin patches, she tried every topical medication available, without success. Kerner had heard about biological medications, but they were described as a last resort by her doctor. She became more desperate as her condition worsened. The patches became more visible. They were on my arms and legs, she says. To cover them up, I would wear long sleeves, turtlenecks, and pants. All things you shouldn't do with psoriasis because it overheats the skin and makes it worse. Finally, Kerner consulted another doctor who listened to her story and immediately said, "We're going to put you on a biologic." Kerner was so relieved that she burst into tears. "I began giving myself biologic injections every 2 weeks, and I felt like a new person," she says. As with eczema, psoriasis can make people feel shunned because of their skin's appearance, even though the condition is not contagious. "There's a huge social impact for psoriasis patients," says Mark Libola, M.D., a dermatologist with Mount Sinai in New York. "I've heard of hairdressers turning patients away, as well as blood banks not allowing people to donate. Sometimes it even results in job losses and absenteeism. Someone once said, psoriasis is not fatal, but dealing with it is murder. And that's a great description of it. It's truly a devastating disease." Here's another little health thing. Green tea instead of coffee for a week. When my doctor told me my blood pressure was slightly elevated, I decided to swap out coffee for green tea, which has only about 1/3 of the caffeine of my favorite dark roast, for a week to see how I'd feel. By 3 p.m. on the first day, I was feeling groggy and had a bad headache, a sign of caffeine withdrawal. I suffered through another mild headache around noon on day 2. But I had a glorious night's sleep with no tossing or turning, no middle-of-the-night awakenings. By day 3, I felt less bloated and sluggish after lunch and had a surge of productivity and alertness. By the end of the week, my complexion was glowing, thanks antioxidants, and I was less jittery and irritable. Green tea, you see, may just have won this one. And with that, let's switch over to Consumer Reports. Ask our experts. What's the best way to defog a car windshield? On a cold day, the moisture of the air inside your car quickly turns to condensation and fogs up your windshield. In most cars, the first thing to do is hit the defrost setting on your dashboard. This directs dry, warm air toward the interior of the windshield, which helps melt any ice on its exterior, but can also turn on your air conditioner, which acts as a dehumidifier, removing moisture from the air in the car and thus helping defog the interior side of the windshield. This process usually takes a few minutes. To speed things up, it may help to crack your window slightly. especially if you have passengers. Their breathing adds moisture to the air, and be sure recirculation mode is shut off. Resist the urge to rub gloves or a napkin or your hands on the windshield. This can leave streaks that obscure your view in direct sunlight or when there are oncoming headlights. My laptop is 10 years old. Should I replace it? There comes a time when it's smarter to buy a new laptop rather than struggle to get the old one to do what you want it to do, Annette Anicilio, who oversees CR's computer testing, says. There are a few signs that suggest it's time for a new laptop. These include reduced battery life, error messages saying you're running low on disk space, and general sluggishness. When your battery's health drops to 80% of its original capacity, it's a sign that the battery is dying. To measure battery health, download an app that can gauge battery capacity, such as Battery Info View for Windows or Battery Health 2 for Mac OS. Newer laptops usually have the ability to stay charged for longer than 12 hours, with some surpassing 20 hours. As for storage, you may find that your digital needs have outgrown what your old laptop can handle. First, free up space by moving local files and photos to a cloud storage system such as iCloud or OneDrive. But keep in mind that a 256GB solid-state drive, SSD, and 8GB of RAM are the minimum many users now require, Acidelio says. If your computer specs are well below that, it's probably time to get a new one. For a new laptop, you should take her through the next 10 years. You may want to aim for an SSD model around 512GB of storage and 16GB of RAM, especially if you keep many tabs open in the browser and save files locally, Acidelio says. The new laptops also have multi-core processors, which are better suited to handle the complexity of today's website and apps. If you can't upgrade to the latest operating system, OS, which has the newest security updates, you're putting yourself at risk. If you're stuck using an old OS or a browser that's no longer supported, your laptop should be replaced, Acidelio says. Microsoft stopped supporting Windows 7 in early 2020. Windows 11 is due to be released this fall, making now a good time for a new laptop. Is an organic turkey healthier to eat? Organic turkeys are fed grain that isn't grown using synthetic pesticides, some of which can be harmful to people, and that contains no genetically modified ingredients or foods. The USDA organic seal from the Department of Agriculture also guarantees that the birds weren't given antibiotics after their first day of life. In conventional farming, these drugs are often administered to healthy food animals to prevent diseases that crop up, partly because of the crowded conditions in which they're raised. This kind of use is a big contributor to the development of antibiotic-resistant bacteria, says Michael Hanschen, Ph.D., a senior scientist at Consumer Reports. That's when the bacteria, including those that cause illness, stop responding to some of the drugs designed to kill them, not just in animals but also in people. Organic turkeys do tend to be smaller and cost more than conventionally raised ones. The difference in price can be around a dollar or more per pound, but near the holidays, keep an eye for better deals. For example, last year, Whole Foods reduced the price of organic turkeys from $3.49 to $2.99 per pound for Amazon Prime members. CR Insights. CR Time Saver. Set up quick and safe smartphone payments. Most stores offer the convenience of making contactless payments with your smartphone. You simply hold the back of your phone close to a designated spot on the checkout machine to transmit your credit card payment. There's no need to fumble for your wallet, punch in a PIN, or even sign your name, which saves time and helps you avoid germs, too. But many shoppers haven't gone contactless because they don't know how to set it up or are concerned about security. Here are the facts about contactless payments and how to set it up right now. First, how safe is it? Apple Pay and Google Pay, two common branded smartphone apps, are safe forms of encrypted payment and even have some security advantages over swiping a physical credit card. That's because your card number is never stored in your smartphone or shared with the store. Instead, the app transmits a unique transaction code that is essentially useless to thieves. Your physical credit card, on the other hand, has your data printed on it, which means it's easily accessible to others if it's lost or stolen. What if you lose your phone? No worries there, because your digital wallet can't be addressed unless you unlock the phone via PIN, Face ID, or fingerprint. Is it tricky to set up? Not at all. Most phones have Apple Pay or Google Pay reinstalled, and setting up contactless payment takes a few minutes, says Richard Fisco, who oversees electronic testing for CR. On an iPhone, go to Settings, tap Wallet and Apple Pay, then Add Card. From there, follow instructions to add your credit card. And on an Android phone, search for Google Pay in your apps. If it's not pre-installed, you can download the app from the Google Play Store. Then sign in and add follow steps to add a payment method. The next time you're at the checkout counter, unlock your smartphone and simply hold it where you see the 4Wave logo. And the 4Wave looks like it's an oval with four spotting smaller and getting larger to a hand holding what looks like a card. Product spotlight. The right mat for your workout. This is if you do yoga. Yoga mats are useful for all kinds of workouts, from push-ups and Pilates. But no matter what activity you're pursuing, there are a few key things any mat shopper could consider. The amount of cushioning, thickness, how sweat-proof the mat is, judged by how quickly it dries, how well it grips the floor so that it doesn't slide around underneath you, and how easy it is for your hands and feet to grip the top surface. The last thing, if you'll be toting the mat to the gym or a park, you'll want one that's easy to carry. To help you find your perky batch, our lab tested 19 yoga mats, including 3 smart picks at Wright, which we'll look at. Check out an additional mat along with the advice set up your home gym and your home revival guide, which we'll look on page 26. All right, cushy choice. The plush Hemingway mat has a non-absorbent top surface that dries quickly and is easy to clean. Because of its soft foam material, it provides a not as stable platform for standing poses, but is good for those who prefer floor-based exercises, such as mat Pilates. For more cushion mat can be also preferable for those with back trouble or those that find it painful to lie on the ground. Hemingway 1-inch thick yoga mat from $30. The material is nitrite butadiene rubber foam. The thickness is 17 millimeters. It gets a 5 out of 5 for drying, 5 out of 5 for cushioning, 3 out of 5 for bottom grip, and 3 out of 5 for dry grip. Versatile for home workouts. This mat is pricier than most, and it offers very good cushioning with an excellent bottom grip, making it a smart choice for most kinds of workouts on either hard or carpeted surfaces. One drawback. It's slow to dry, so it's not the best choice for workouts where you perspire a lot. It also gives off a strong chemical odor at first, although this faded over time. Lululemon Take Form Yoga Mat from $130. No wonder it's expensive. Material, natural and synthetic fibers and rubbers and polyurethane. Thickness, 6 millimeters. Only 2 out of 5 for drying. It's 4 out of 5 for cushioning, 5 out of 5 for bottom grip, and 5 out of 5 for dry grip. Portable pick. This light mat is easy to travel with. Its rubber metal material provides a great grip and quick drying for perfect for sweatier workouts like hot yoga. It does have less cushioning than standard mats, but if you're borrowing a mat from a gym or a studio that's used by other patrons, this mat can be rolled out on top. That way you'll avoid contact with the surface of the shared mat and get extra cushioning. The Jade Travel Mat is from $65. The material is open cell natural runner. Thickness is only 3 millimeters. It's 5 out of 5 for drawing, 2 out of 5 for cushioning, obviously because it's so thin, 5 out of 5 bottom grip, and 5 out of 5 dry grip. And let's look at the time travel. 1936 ads advise serving 3 wines at dinner, which most hosts find too complicated. Say or offer simple tips and rates of wines for readers. 1948, sharp carving knives are hard to come by, we report. After testing 18 sets, we find that a Universus stainless steel set is a good buy for under $15. That's in 1948. In 1954, new deep fat fryers are handy for buffet-style entertaining, CR says. They keep foods warm. Of the 21 we test, the Presto model is the tops. 1962, PR publishes a new wines and spirit guide for the holiday host. Just $1 for CR members with some 160 pages of drinks related, rated by our expert tasters. 1973, we label the electric West Bend tabletop meat broiler with rotisserie not acceptable. The drip pan becomes so hot that fat splattered on the users. And that's mainly because it's an open thing. It's an open thing. Ooh. 1979, we tested new hot air corn poppers and tell readers that Native Americans may have bought popcorn to the first Thanksgiving fest. This wherever breaks best. 1982, to help speed up food prep, CR's testers suggest a Bolinex La Machine below to blend, in this picture of it below, to blend great find and mince mood faster. In 1994, CR's experts assess the flavor of roasted turkeys bought either frozen or fresh, and frozen birds tend to yield juicier meat. That's interesting. 2012, our testers try 11 patching stuffings rating nutrition and taste. Pepperidge Farm herb seasoned stuffing is top for fresh tasting flavor. In 2021, our testers say a Dutch oven can pull double duty, moving seamlessly from stovetop to table trivet, no serving bowl required. And they show an Aisha curry covered Dutch oven for $70, got a 76 overall score. 8 ways to prevent kitchen fires. 1. Most house fires start in the kitchen, according to the National Fire Protection Association. And the peak of the day of the year for a kitchen fire happens, as you guessed it, Thanksgiving Day. As you multitask, like Christmas Day is probably bad too. As you multitask like crazy, it's all too easy to get distracted by family, friends, and pets while you try to get your feast on the table. Here are smart ways to ensure your kitchen stays a fire-free zone. 1. Keep a Class K fire extinguisher mounted on an accessible place in the kitchen. Know how to use it, too. Never leave the kitchen with the stove on. Set timers for each dish. Smart assistants such as Siri and Alexa can handle multiple reminders with voice commands. 3. Keep cloth towels and mitts at least 3 feet from hot surfaces, but near enough for you to grab if needed. Silicone mitts are heat-resistant solution. 4. Turn pot and pan handles towards the back of the stove when you aren't using them. This prevents passersby from knocking onto those handles and spilling scalding food that can cause burns. 5. Keep pets gated outside the kitchen to avoid distractions and trip hazards as you cook. 6. Keep children at least 3 feet away from a hot stove to prevent burns. 7. Wear a shirt with short or close-fitting sleeves. Loose clothing catches fire more easily. And 8. Keep a lid or fan nearby as you cook, so that you can cover it quickly to put out a small fire. In case of a fire, do this. Flames in a pan. Small fires in a stovepot can be smothered with a fitted lid. With your hand on an oven mitt, carefully slide the lid over the pan, then turn off the burner. Don't move the pan or lid until they're cooled completely. Fire in the oven. Quickly turn off the oven and keep the oven door closed to prevent fresh air from stoking the fire. Flames on your clothes. Stop, drop, and roll. When you drop, cover your face with your hands if you can, then roll over and over back and forth to put out the fire. Cool any burns with cold water for 3 to 5 minutes, and don't hesitate to seek medical attention. Flames elsewhere. First, call 911. You can try to use your fire extinguisher to be sure others leave the house and that you have a clear path to exit. How to negotiate a better car lease deal. Oh, I could have used this a couple years ago. Vehicle leasing contracts contain some confusing language, thanks to their unique terminology and a host of fees that you, the lessee, may or may not have to pay, depending on your upfront negotiation with the lessor or dealership. Before you shop around to get the best lease deal, you should understand these 6 important terms so that you negotiate them and avoid surprises. Doing well will save you money down the road. Capitalized cost. This is a financial term for the price of the vehicle, which you should negotiate just as if you were buying the car instead of leasing it. The lower the price of the cap cost, the smaller the portion of that will be financing. This will include taxes, registration fees, and service contracts or extended warranties you decide to add. It's usually better to lower this number, which will in turn lower your monthly payments, than to lower your monthly payments by extended lease term over more months. Money factor. It's akin to the interest rate you'll pay when leasing a car, and it can vary widely. Do your research to find out current interest rates for a new car purchase. During negotiations, ask the dealer to provide you with the money factor it is using. Then multiply this by 2,400 to get the interest rate you'll be paying, and compare that with your research rates. You can use this info to help negotiate a lower rate. Disposition fee, also called a turn-in fee. This is usually $350 to $500. It's agreed to upfront, but charged at the end of the lease to defray the cost of preparing the vehicle for sale after you return it. Look closely to see whether this term appears on your contract. Some dealers don't charge one. This fee is often waived if you opt to buy the car at the end of the term, because there's nothing to prepare then. If you lease another vehicle, you can ask for this fee to be waived as a repeat customer courtesy. Excessive wear and tear fee. This is charged at the end of a lease to cover any damage to the vehicle beyond normal wear and tear, which is often loosely defined in a contract. Dings smaller than the size of a credit card, for instance, may not count, but ball tires probably do. Ask a dealer for an explanation of what is considered excessive before you sign the lease. Mileage allowance. Leases stipulate how many miles you can drive over the full term, broken out into yearly average. Advertised leases tend to be low, such as 10,000 miles or less per year, but most people drive between 12 and 15,000 miles per year. Aim to negotiate the higher limit for little or no change in your lease price. Your contract will also state an excess mileage charge, usually 10 to 25 cents per excess mile, if you go over the agreed mileage. The more miles you're allowed, the less likely you have to pay this. And security deposit. This set amount can be used by the lessor in case you default or upset on money you owe at the end of the lease. Sometimes this fee is negotiated or removed completely, so always ask whether it can be waived. And a good time to buy multi-cookies, refrigerators, smart speakers, and coffee makers is right now. Portable backyard pizza ovens. Oh, that's interesting. Sierra is interesting outside the labs. A new evaluation program which product reviews are performed outside of our testing center by staffers who have deep expertise in Nat's products category. So Paul Hope, CR's grilling expert, who's also a culinary school grad, tried out 4 outdoor tabletop pizza ovens in his backyard to see how well they cook up a homemade pizza. These small steel appliances, most which run on some combination of wood, charcoal, or propane, to get above 700 degrees Fahrenheit, offer the promise of restaurant-quality pies ready in 4 to 8 minutes. Hope made cheese pieces using the same store-bought dough, sauce, and shredded mozzarella in every oven. Here's what he found. Go to see her. Editor's Choice. Unikaru 12 multi-fuel pizza oven for $350. Heat source is charcoal and wood. Pros. With very sturdy construction and a chimney damper, the Uni lets you, this is double O-N-I is how it's spelled, lets you adjust airflow to control the temperature of the fire. It turned out beautifully 12-inch pies with bubbly but not burned cheese and a lightly charred crust around the perimeter. The fuel basket was easy to remove and was large enough to add pieces of charcoal and wood easily during cooking. Cons. Even though it was one of the priciest models we tried, the Uni comes with no extras. The pizza peel, $60, and a carrying case, $40, are sold separately. There is no built-in thermometer, though. Our chef found that the Uni always seemed to hum along at the ideal temperature, so that isn't a deal-breaker. And the great value is WPPO Le Pepe, portable wood-fired pizza oven for $250. Heat source, charcoal, pellets, and wood. Pros. This stylish model has a peephole in the oven door to see the pie while it bakes. And the price includes a metal pizza wheel. All 12 pizzas cook quickly and well. Cons. There's no chimney damper, which makes it harder to control the temperature. So watch the built-in thermometer closely. A compact fuel basket means you'll need to refuel frequently. Easy for beginners. Bakerstone Original Series Portable Gas Pizza Oven Box, $350. Heat source, propane. Pros. Starting at the press of an electric ignition button, the Bakerstones offer even heat that can easily be controlled via dials. There's also less messy ash with the wood-fired bottles. Cons. Every 14-inch pie emerges evenly cooked with a crisp crust and nicely melted cheese, but there's no smoke-kissed wood-fired taste, which the ovens provide. Nice for a crowd. Jiber Fremont Wood-Fired Pizza Oven, $260 to $358. Heat source are pellets and wood chips. Pros. The Fremont holds a 13-inch pie and has the largest fuel basket, which means you can build a bigger fire and cook pizzas back-to-back without needing to top off the fuel in between. It also has a built-in handle. Cons. The oven lacks the polish and sturdier construction of the other models. The oven door is flimsy and tough to keep on. It fell out frequently while in use. Then we have to go to the always fun part of recalls. Generac Portable Generators. Generac Power Systems is recalling about 322,000 Generac DR-branded 6,500-watt and 8,000-watt portable generators due to an unlocked handle that could pinch consumer fingers against the generator frame when the generators moved, posing finger amputation and crushing hazards. The company reports 7 finger amputations due to the hazard. Ouch! The generators were sold at hardware stores and other retailers nationwide and online, including Ace Hardware, Amazon, Costco, Home Depot, Lowe's, Napa Auto Parts, and True Value, from June 2013 through June 2021 for $790 to $1,480. That's kind of scary. What to do? Stop using the recalled portable generators immediately, unless the locking pin has been inserted to secure the handle in place before and after moving the generator. Contact Generac for more information and a free repair kit at 844-242-3493 or generac.com/handleguard. Zen Magnets and Neo Balls. This mandatory recall involves all Zen Magnets and Neo Balls, high-powered 5-millimeter spherical magnets, about 10 million magnets, due to child ingestion hazards. The magnets were sold online at zigmagnets.com and neoballs.com, and at certain Colorado retailers, including Botanico and Lyons Phyllis, beginning in January 2009 for $12 to $264 per set, or individually for $0.06 to $0.10 per magnet. The Zen Magus were sold individually in sets of 72, sets of 216 with 6 spares, and a set of 1720 with 8 spares. The Neo Bowls were sold individually and in sets following the color silver, gold, red, orange, green, blue, and purple. Zen Magus or Neo Bowls is printed on the package. What would you do with those things? Immediately stop using the recalled magnets and contact Zed Magnets at 844-936-6245 for a refund. New Widetech dehumidifiers. New Widetech is calling about 2 million dehumidifiers with brand names Aon Air, Armana, Arctic Air, Danby Classic, Commercial Cool, Danby Premier, EdStar, Friedrich, Tenere's, Higher, Honeywell, Idless Innovation, Superclimate. I think they do it for a lot of people. And Whirlpool and Winter sold at Costco, Lowe's, Menards, Walmart, and other retailers nationwide from February 2009 through August 2017 for $120 to $430. New Widetech reports 100 incidents of models overheating and are catching fire. The models included 25, 30, 35, 45, 50, 60, 65, 70, and 74-pint dehumidifiers manufactured before September 1, 2017. The brand name, model number, and print capacity are printed on nameplate sticker on the back of the dehumidifier. What to do? Stop using the dehumidifier and contact New Widetech at 877-251-1522 or www.recallrtr.com. /NWT dehumidifier for a refund, prorated based on the age of the dehumidifier. Raven Crossbow Aeronox. Raven Crossbows is recalling about 220,000 Raven White Arrow Nox out of reports of finger injuries, including 21 that were serious. The company found that if the white nock is not fully engaged with the bowstrings, the crossbow can fail to discharge when the trigger is pulled and result in the bow discharging while re-knocking the arrow, posing an injury hazard to users. The nocks were sold at Hasbro Shops, Cabela's, Dick's Sporting Goods, and other stores nationwide from October 2016 through November 2017 for $8 to $15. The Aeronox were also included as original equipment with Raven Crossbow sold for $1,500 to $2,000 and Raven Arrows sold for $75 to $110. Stop using the white nock and call 888-298-6335 or go to ravencrossbows.com and click on Safety and Instructions, then Notices for more information about obtaining a replacement. And True Living Sling Loungers. Shanghai Worth Garden Products is recalling 150,000 True Living white-framed with solid blue or green fabric sling loungers sold at Dollar General stores nationwide from January 2019 through September 2019 for about $20. The recalled loungers can collapse, posing amputation, laceration, and pinching hazards if a finger gets caught in the metal folding joints. Ouch. 3 incidents have been reported. The 12-digit UPC number is 43000104-7344 and is located on the receipt. What to do? Immediately stop using the recalled sling loungers. Cut the fabric of the chair, rendering it unusable, and contact Dollar General at 800-678-9258 or go to dollargeneral.com, click Help at the bottom of the page, then Product Recalls for more information and to obtain a full refund. Intertex blower fans. Intertex is recalling about 29,000 VP333 blower fans sold under the B-Air brand following 5 reports of the capacitor overheating in the fan and causing fire-related property damage. The recalled air mover 1/3 horsepower fans were made before January 1, 2018 and were sold in blue, red, or green in a neon yellow color box at Home Depot stores and online, Menards nationwide and online at Amazon from February 2013 through December 2017 for about $200. The BR logo on the vent and product label. What to do? Stop using the fans and contact the company for a free repair kit, including installation instructions at 800-465-7300 or go to b-air.com, VP33 recall. Let's look at a road report. Tips from the test track. How to keep your headlights clear. Unlike halogen headlights, LED lights don't get warm enough to melt away snow or ice. That can be a problem, particularly when driving in winter precipitation, which can freeze on contact with the headlight housing and limit the light's effective range. Jen Stockberger, CR's Director of Operations, manages our headlight testing. She suggests spraying the headlight housing with a rain repellent or a de-icing product before you head out. Avoid oil-based do-it-yourself hacks like cooking spray or lubricants, which can get foggy and opaque when cold and limit the headlight range. Is it safe to charge EV at home when it's raining or snowing? Yes. Most wall chargers are outdoor rated, but be sure the outlet or home charging station is professionally installed. The standard SAE J1772 connector that attaches to the car is designed to protect against water intrusion or shorting. If you're using the 110-volt charger cord that came with the car, plug it directly into the wall outlet, not into a power strip or extension cord, which might not be rated to handle the strength of the current, and make sure that any outdoor outlet you use is protected from the elements. Toyota Corolla Cross, first drive. Positioned below the Toyota RV4, the Corolla Cross is a small, sensible SUV with easy access and good visibility, a front choice or all-wheel drive, and lots of safety features. Its three trim levels, LE, LE, and XLE, share a single four-cylinder engine paired to a continuously variable transmission. The fuel-efficient 169-horsepower engine has to work hard when merging or passing on the highway, though. The Corolla Cross is well-suited for buyers who favor smart packaging and value over flash and performance. Price ranges from $22,000 to $28,000. Destination charge is $1,215. Vital statistics. 56% of reduction in front to rear crashes and injuries when cars are equipped with forward collision warning and automatic emergency braking. How about a few laugh lines to close us out today? If I ever rob a bank, I won't resort to guns or violence. I'll bring in sizzling fajitas, being the one distraction no human being can resist. My dad and I went to a restaurant, and the waiter pointed at a QR code on the wall and said, "That's our menu." And my dad looked at it really close and said, "Is this some kind of a joke?" Restaurants drastically overestimate how much I care about which wood they smoke my bacon over. Waiter, would you like to know the one thing on the menu we're out of tonight? No, I'll find it. Thanks. I have an idea for a hot wings restaurant. The wings are free, but napkins cost $100. When I tell people I tried a new restaurant, I mean I went to a place which is different from where I normally get fettuccine Alfredo, and I tried their fettuccine Alfredo. A man had too much to drink and needed a ride home, so he called his wife to come pick him up. "Where are you?" she asked. "Let's see," he said, looking around. "I'm at the corner of Walk and Don't Walk." Upon entering a store, a man noticed a big Beware of Dog sign posted on the door. He continued cautiously until he noticed an old hound asleep on the floor near the cash register. "Is that the dog we're supposed to be aware of?" he asked a worker behind the counter. "Yep, that's him," the man replied. "He doesn't look dangerous. Why do you need that sign?" "Because," the man explained, "before I put it up, people kept tripping over him." And with that, we've just about run out of today for today's episode of the Reader's Digest Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Our broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long until next time, and thanks so much for listening.